call our meeting to order on March 19th. Thank you, Twee, for sending our packet end of last week. And the first item of business is approving the minutes. I move to approve the minutes. Is there a second?
A second.
Thank you, Josh. Are there any amendments, changes, questions, concerns? Seeing none, all those in favor of approving the minutes say aye. Aye, Sarah.
Aye, Josh.
Aye, John.
The minutes are approved. Are going down to the loan portfolio. So we are looking at three loans today that are $950,000. Is there a motion to approve the loans?
I so move.
Thank you,
John. Second.
Rich, you want to walk us through the loans that we are reviewing today?
Absolutely. Thanks, Sarah. Loan number one to the City of Seymour. You might remember the board approved a similar loan last year. The city purchased some land from a local family a few years ago, and they structured it with annual payments, likely for tax purposes. And the city is borrowing on an annual basis to make those payments. Loan number two to the Village of Strum is for operations. Strum ran into a little bit of a problem with a 2023 street project that went over budget, and they need these funds to right the ship, as some people might say. And then loan number three is a bread and butter roadwork loan to the town of Delafield. And that's all I have for the loans today. Does anybody have any questions?
Josh or John, any questions for Rich?
None for me.
None for me either.
I will say, Rich, I think this just once again further illustrates how Wisconsin is really lucky to even have the BCPL as an opportunity to help finance local community projects, whether it's with Seymour or Strum as a really good example, because it's not like they can easily go to the bond market to make up that gap. And so this is a really good example of some of the work that's being done. So
I agree.
Yeah. So since there's no questions, all those in favor of approving the loan say aye. Aye, Sarah.
Aye, Josh.
Aye, John.
The loans are approved. So there is no old business, but we do have one item under new business today. And if there's no objections from the commissioners, I'd like to suspend the rules and turn it over to Tom, who can walk us through the proposed easement on Moose Lake.
Thank you, Sarah. And even though it's on our agenda as new business, I think I'd file it under the category of really old business. So, as I noted in the first paragraph of the resolution, the purpose is to clean up some unresolved issues from transactions that occurred decades ago. BCPL had some land in this area, and some adjoining landowners had some land, and we did some land exchanges and we granted some easements. But unfortunately, when those were done, I don't believe all the T's were crossed and the I's were dotted. And so this is an effort to just make things right. It's about the best way to put it. Access easements were granted, but it didn't mention utilities. And so in essence, what we're trying to do is make sure that the easements that we're granting here are actually the proper easements to the proper parties going across the proper areas. And in this particular situation, talking about a minor adjustment, and BCPL believes that the fair value of that is $500, and the parties are willing to pay that. And so as this is a transaction outside the ordinary course of business, we are asking for board authorization to do this easement.
Thank you, Tom. Any questions from the commissioners about what seems to just be addressing some unresolved issues from before?
Well, I was just going to ask, is that the remaining BCPL lot on the market? It looks like it's kind of in a neighborhood on a lake with a lot of lake houses in the area. I'm just kind of surprised nobody's trying to buy that yet.
That's an excellent question. There are actually two separate lots there, and both of them are on the water. The southernmost one that has eastern exposure, what you don't see from the map is that is actually pretty much marsh over there. And in fact, if you look at the white area compared to the area outlined in green, there's a little bit of a difference there. And it's because of the fact that, in essence, that marsh sometimes takes up more space than the actual legal description of that lot. And so it's not a really attractive lot. The one to the north, yeah, that one is more attractive. But under the current statutes, because of the fact that we would be required to retain access to the navigable waters across that property, if someone were to buy that, they would have to allow the public to cross their land to get to the water. And that reservation of access rights has a significant negative impact on value. And for that particular reason, we have not pushed forward with selling that property. The property itself got really hit hard by some storms that hit northwest Wisconsin roughly 10 years ago. I've walked that property twice, and it first time looked like an absolute twisted mess from the tornadoes that knocked down a bunch of trees. But it could be developed into a viable lot for someone. But because of the existence of Statute 24.11 sub 3, at this particular point in time, I think it has a significant detraction of value if you were going to sell it for someone to develop a lot there.
Okay, so the easements won't really affect the value of the remaining land is kind of what I was wondering.
Yes, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I didn't address your more targeted question there.
That's probably because I didn't ask it in the first place, but it just kind of implied. Thanks, Tom.
You're welcome.
Thanks, John. Any other questions about the proposed easement?
No questions for me.
Okay. See none, I'll just move to... I'll move to approve the proposed easement as captured in our board packet.
I'll second that.
Any other questions, debate? See none. All those in favor of approving the proposed easement, say aye. Aye, Sarah.
Aye, Josh.
Aye, John.
The easement for Moose Lake is approved. Moving on to routine business. Rich, with your chief investment officer's report.
Thanks, Sarah. You know, as I mentioned at our last meeting, I'd like to take a few minutes to talk about our venture capital investments. The current asset allocation for the Common School Fund includes a 4% target allocation to private equity venture capital with an approved range of 0 to 10%. This allocation is important to the Common School Fund, not for its distributable income, but to help grow the trust fund principal at a rate above the long-term rate of inflation. Our commitments to private equity venture capital asset class are long-term investments expected to last well over a decade. And over the full course of these investment periods, expected returns remain significantly higher than in the public equity markets. Over the past few years, BCPL has made 7 commitments to venture capital totaling $92.5 million. Most of these commitments have been fairly recent, and we currently have a cost basis of about $40 million. Our earliest commitments are just reaching the end of their investment period, but returns to the Common School Fund have been delayed due to recent market conditions. Recall the trouble last year with Silicon Valley Bank, which was emblematic of a down market. Sellers are always reluctant to sell in a down market, which compels fund managers into longer holding periods in the hope of higher prices before selling and making distributions to the limited partners. Today, the market seems to be recovering, so the Common School Fund should realize some good returns from this asset class over the next year or two. Our primary investment strategy is achieving the highest risk-adjusted rate of return for our beneficiaries. Within the venture capital asset class, part of this strategy has included committing to asset managers based in Wisconsin and the Midwest. There are good opportunities in this part of the country, but most venture capital funds are focused on Silicon Valley, Boston, and the North Carolina Research Triangle. The lack of funding in the Midwest should lead to higher expected returns because there's less competition from other investors. This Midwest focus has also secondary benefits, which include helping the entrepreneurial environment in Wisconsin by investing in Wisconsin small businesses. John asked about this aspect a few meetings ago, and I'm happy to report that BCPL has made investments in the following 10 companies that have had an impact in Wisconsin. The first is Enso Data. Based in Madison, Enso Data is a company spun out of the UW that utilizes artificial intelligence in analyzing waveforms to assist clinicians in diagnosing sleep disorders. Enso Data currently has 54 employees, 19 of which are in Wisconsin. BCPL has invested $1.3 million in Enso Data through our commitment to the Venture Investors Health Fund 6. Invenra, also located in Madison, Invenra is a biotech company founded to discover and develop antibodies for immuno-oncology with a vision to cure cancer and other immune-related diseases. BCPL has invested $800,000 through venture investors, and Invenra currently has 74 employees, with 73 located in Wisconsin. Histosonics is a company that has recently achieved a historic milestone with FDA clearance of its breakthrough robotic Edison system. The Edison system is the culmination of over 20 years in the evolving science of histotripsy, with research developed at the University of Michigan with tremendous support from the UW. Histotripsy, which destroys tumors non-invasively through focused high-intensity sound waves, has the potential to revolutionize cancer care in our lifetimes. With the first ever FDA clearance for this novel treatment beginning with liver tumors, Histosonics is now entering a hypergrowth mode. While based in the Twin Cities, Histosonics' impact in Wisconsin includes UW research jobs and consultants over the many years of development. In addition, a press release issued by the UW just a few weeks ago announced that in January, University Hospitals completed the first ever histotripsy-based tumor ablation by a radiology department in the United States. BCPL has invested nearly $4 million in Histosonics through our commitment to venture investors, along with a direct co-investment made in late 2022. Eliphas is developing a technology to assess how human live tumor fragments respond to cancer therapies to improve precision medicine outcomes and accurate drug development. Eliphas has 126 employees, with 106 located in Wisconsin, and BCPL has invested $1.4 million in Eliphas through our recent commitment to Venture Investors Health Fund 7. Forge. Headquartered in Milwaukee, Forge provides online member engagement for professional associations and employs 65 Wisconsinites. BCPL has invested approximately $300,000 through Baird Venture Partners 5. Avid Ratings provides customer experience software for the home building industry. BCPL invested approximately $700,000 in this company through our commitment to 4490 Ventures II. More than half of Avid's 32 employees are based in Wisconsin. Distribution Depot provides software that enables wholesale, HVAC, plumbing, and electrical distributors to implement e-commerce strategies. The company centralizes product and marketing materials from brand manufacturers to deliver a turnkey online presence for their customers. This early stage company has 5 Wisconsin employees, and BCPL has invested about $100,000 through our commitment to the Idea Fund 2 of La Crosse. Golgix is another early stage company that has benefited from BCPL investment through Idea Fund 2. Golgix employs AI in a software-only solution that utilizes machine data from manufacturers to minimize unplanned downtime and boost productivity. Golgix currently has 2 Wisconsin employees. Fivable is based in Milwaukee and is an edtech company that offers AP exam prep and other digital learning opportunities and has supported over 7 million students since being established in 2018. BCPL has invested about $100,000 through our commitment to NVNG Fund 1. Fivable currently has 17 full-time staff and nearly 100 student writers, editors, hosts, content creators, and social coordinators. Benny, based in Madison, is another early stage company that provides a platform for financing employee participation in employee stock purchase plans for large firms like Google and Microsoft. The BCPL investment was made through our commitment to NVNG and NVNG's investment in the venture capital firm Matchstick Ventures. In addition to the 10 companies just described, our commitment to Wisconsin companies will almost certainly be accelerating over the next few years. Wisconsin has been approved for $80 million in U.S. Treasury funding for what is called the State Small Business Credit Initiative, or SSBCI, in FedSpeak. SSBCI monies invested in venture capital require a match from participating fund managers, and several of our fund managers have been approved for this program. While the investment committee remains laser-focused on our fiduciary duties to the trust funds that we manage, we are also proud to have a role in supporting the Wisconsin economy through our investments in venture capital, bonds issued by the state of Wisconsin and Wisconsin municipalities, and the hundreds of millions we have invested in community projects through the State Trust Fund Loan Program. To summarize today, you know, the BCPL has been an important partner in growing Wisconsin since 1848, and our impact continues strongly to this day. Not only does the BCPL provide the sole source of state funding for the purchase of public school library media and resources, we continue to provide critical support to the local economy and communities throughout the state. On that note, you know, I will open up for questions. Does anybody have any questions about our venture capital commitments?
No questions, Rich, but thanks for going over all those companies. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it was a good question, John, and I appreciate the opportunity to talk about it.
I have one quick question, and I want to preface this by saying that this does not relate to any of the specific investments that you mentioned. It's just sort of a question about sort of good government practices. But do we have particular safeguards in place to ensure that, you know, we're making investments when we're making them, it's done objectively and that, you know, there's a appropriate process in place? I'm sure there are, but can you sort of walk me through that? And I don't know if there are other things we ought to be thinking about, but as we sort of continue to move into this space, obviously making sure we're doing it in a way that's ensuring that the BCPL is protected is important.
Yeah, you know, before the investment committee approves any of these investments, there's a significant due diligence process that we go through, including hire a third-party due diligence company to go over both operating and investment policies of the managers that we are taking a look at. And so all of those things are taken into account before we make a preliminary commitment. And then the investment committee has meetings with these managerial firms and makes sure that that those things are taken into account.
I would further say, Josh, that all of this is written in our investment policy statement that we review every other year. And so all of this is documented and outlined and kind of how we go about the overall investment strategy to include the due diligence process.
The third party due diligence that Rich was talking about actually comes in two different pieces. The first one is financial and operational due diligence, and we hire Marquette and Associates to provide us with their third party view. And Marquette is considered one of the gold standards in providing that kind of analysis and review. And if that comes back with a clean report and a thumbs up, it then moves on to the next stage, which is where we use our outside legal counsel to assist in going over the subscription agreements, the limited partnership agreements, and drafting side letters that protect the interests of BCPL, especially with respect to some of the special considerations that we have. We are a different type of investment fund than a pension or than a private office or anything like that, and our private our side letters reflect that and provide us with that additional protection as well.
Great, thank you.
And I just want to say, John, I do appreciate you asking that. From my perspective, as somebody who's been involved in this more from the day-to-day, forget what's being shared. And over the past, probably 4 years, there's just been a lot of focus on how are we transitioning to meet our venture asset allocation and doing it in a way that can ensure not only strong returns, but even just right here in our backyard. So I think it's really been a win-win strategy. And as we can see, it's providing strong distribution for our public schools, but also these are companies that are in our community. Any other questions for Rich? Thank you, Rich. It was also good to see how many people. I didn't know the people number. I knew the dollar amounts, but the people number is exciting.
It gets to be impressive, doesn't it?
It really is.
Thank you.
Moving on to our executive secretary's report, Tom.
I have nothing as exciting as the news that Rich provided us with. And I agree with you, Sarah, to hear the numbers of jobs that are supported by our investments is a great affirmation of the role that we play. And we're kind of the quiet entity that ends up making a lot of the difference behind the scenes. But in order to make those differences, it's amazing how much day-to-day work goes into a lot of that stuff. One of the things that I just wanted to let the board know is that we're continuing our due diligence on the possibility of migrating to a different software platform for reporting on our investment portfolio. Since 2011, we've been using the Schwab Portfolio Center, which worked great when we first started buying bonds on the secondary market, and even when we started buying stocks. But now that we've got these different types of investments, Schwab Portfolio Center struggles. And as a result, we have to do a lot manually to actually produce those reports for the board. In Schwab Portfolio Center, it doesn't report on our loan portfolio. It doesn't report on SWIB. It doesn't report on a lot of the venture capital investments that Rich talked about today. And so in essence, to produce those reports for the board, we have to manually take all those different pieces of information and put those together. And so we've been looking at other options for doing that. unfortunately, most of them charge somewhere in the neighborhood of $75,000 a year or more. Our current appropriation level is actually below 2017 right now. We don't have 75,000, but we did find another option that looks like it would work a lot better, and it's priced roughly in the same place as our current portfolio center. And so we are investigating that option and should be able to report back to the board sometime in June as to where we think we're going to go with that. I'm optimistic. Any questions on that? Last week, we talked a little bit about the conservation fund and the possibility of some transactions there, and we've worked a little bit more on that. And we've identified a block of 6,000 acres of the conservation fund that would be a significant target acquisition for BCPL if we're able to work out something there. It would provide significant timber revenue opportunities. And like I said, it's a separate consolidated block that has a little bit of BCPL existing land that's contiguous to it. Obviously, there are more blocks of land within conservation fund holdings that we are also looking at, but our primary target would be those 6,000 acres, and we have now identified two secondary blocks as well that we are starting to do more due diligence on, including walking those properties to give us a better sense of what it looks like on the ground. And that takes a fair amount of time. When you think about the average city lot in Madison is about a quarter acre, 6,000 acres takes a while to walk. But in any event, we're looking forward to continuing to work on that, and we will keep the board apprised as we find out more. And that's all I've got for today.
Thanks, Tom. And I think it's a good point. We know there's so much work that happens behind the scenes, so we appreciate it. Any questions for Tom?
Not for me. Thanks.
Moving on to the board chair report. I don't have anything to report today, so I'll just close it by asking if there's any agenda items that you'd like to see at a future meeting. Seeing none, is there a motion to adjourn?
I so move.
I'll second.
Thank you. All those in favor of adjourning today, say aye. Aye, Sarah.
Aye, Josh.
Aye, John.
Meeting's adjourned. Thanks, everybody, and enjoy the rest of your week.
See you guys.
Have a great
week, everyone.